it's up to you to keep us going strong.
On Sunday, May 11th at 11 p.m., Sugar in My Bowl will feature Amiri Baraka Presente. Join us as we continue to remember New Jersey's Poet Laureate with a presentation sponsored by the Bowery Poetry Project as we do our part to help keep this listener-supported experiment alive. That's Sunday, May 11th at 11 p.m., right here on WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, and WBAI.org on the web.
But we do not understand you.
Attention, WBAI's listener sponsors. If you had an issue dealing with premiums, call the phone line 347-274-8144. That's 347-274-8144. You can also send an email to premiums@wbai.org. That's premiums with an S at the end at wbai.org. An operator will answer your call or reply back to your email Monday through Friday between the hours of 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support to WBAI New York Pacifica Radio.
And you are listening to WBAI New York. It's 7 o'clock time for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you as another Wednesday evening begins. Joined tonight by Mike.
Good evening.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
Kyle.
Hello.
Okay, and here we go. We are going to try now to hear Bernie S. on a new technology that we'll explain as soon as we either hear him or don't hear him. Bernie S., are you there?
Greetings from Pennsylvania.
Oh, my God. Did you hear how good he sounded?
You sound so good, Bernie.
You sound like you're here in the studio with us.
Hey, Emmanuel, I cannot hear him, though.
Nor can I.
Here we go again. This room is segregated. Half of it can hear things, half of it can't. All right, well we're going to try and figure this out. We press another button.
Oh, I see.
All right, Reggie is here, and he's helping us figure out all the different buttons on this board. Bernie, you can still hear me, though, right?
I can hear you, but I can hear myself with an annoying echo.
He hears himself with an annoying echo.
Oh. Okay.
Well, now you know how we feel. No, just kidding. okay. We apologize to the listeners for this is how we develop things. We do it on the air, and we figure things out. Yeah, all those buttons were pressed. See?
Yeah.
Someone presses all the buttons on this thing. Mike, Rob?
We can't hear anything.
You can't hear anything now. All right.
Well, you can't hear me now?
We hear you, but apparently Rob and Mike can't hear me.
No.
Which...
I don't know if I'm talking over Bernie S. or not.
And you know, just for the fun of it, folks, when we started the show, I couldn't hear me. But I did hear me 7 seconds later, which confused me. So we were kind of in all different modes. So what do you suggest we do?
Trial by fire,
for sure.
All right, now I can hear you, Emmanuel.
Okay, Mike can now hear me.
Okay, good.
Yes.
And can you hear Bernie?
Can they hear me?
Is he talking?
You can't hear Bernie. Max is out.
How about now, can they hear me?
Well, he's louder now. I think you can hear him through my ears.
That's one way to go about the show.
We have all kinds of technicians lining up to try and figure this out. The upshot of it is that once we get this working, it'll be good for all of us in the future. And there are so many buttons on this board that it could take a millennium just to press them all and figure out what they all do.
That's what two to the end possibilities. Yep. That could go on for a long time.
This is Off the Hook. This is the program that experiments with technology. Sometimes we do it live on the air. And in the end, we wind up with something that either works or doesn't work. It's great
fun.
Should
me or Reggie explain what we're doing tonight?
Well, Bernie, why don't you explain what we're doing? That will allow us to do it. You know, without talking about
then
doing
they can hear
it,
me.
And then you can talk, and we'll just kind of try and figure out what to do.
A few weeks ago, Tony Ryan, who was WBI's interim operations director, he set up a mailing list called WBA Operations, and I joined the mailing list and got to converse with him and John Almela, who is the national technical director at Pacifica, and some other people. And my question was, is there a remote box at the studio there, which I'm rarely there? I've never been to the Harlem studio. It's a box called the Comrex, where they do remotes, but typically they have to use expensive remote equipment. But I did some research and found there is an application that runs on certain smartphones from a Dutch company. It's called Lucy Live Lite, and I installed it on my BlackBerry 10. Actually, my BlackBerry Z30. And after a bunch of testing over a couple, 3 weeks, we got it to work. So I sound like I'm in the studio, and you sound like you're next to me. And I'm hoping we can do this in the future without annoying echo in my ears. And I hope those guys can hear me all.
Well, actually, while you were talking, we did figure something out that allows them to hear you. But if you can talk maybe for another 45 seconds, we'll maybe figure something else out as well.
45 seconds. So I want to give a shout out to Tony Ryan for helping to make this all possible, and to Reggie Johnson for ably helping you right now. This is an experiment, but this opens a lot of opportunities for WBAI. We could do live remotes from almost any mobile device, iPhone, Android, BlackBerry 10, Mac operating system, Windows. It even has a Linux version. So we could do live remotes from anywhere with almost any platform, and sound like we're in the studio. And that is an exciting thing. Hello?
I see. Okay, well, we were just trying to figure out how to get rid of your echo. You were never not hearing echo, right?
I've been hearing myself back about 100 milliseconds more than I spoke.
Okay. We'll try and figure that out. But right now we were trying to figure out how to get Mike and Rob and Kyle to hear you, and I think you guys can hear them now.
Can they hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Great.
All right. Good.
How about
I can live with the echo for now.
All right. And we don't hear the echo, so as far as we're concerned, you're making it up.
Yeah.
So how about we do a show?
Yes. Finally.
Okay. Well, let's do a show.
And any ideas?
Can you hear our theme?
Yes.
All right. Well, that's how a show would begin. Without all the testing. Okay, we're going to just pretend none of that happened and start our program. Okay. Well, welcome, everybody. It's good to see us all here in the studio together. And it's good to hear you, Bernie. Anyone have anything special to say?
This is really freaky. I'm not used to Bernie sounding in my ears like he does in real life.
Well, you've seen him in real life.
But he's in real life when he's in real life.
And you're not used to that either.
I think they're really cool things.
Hang on.
Bernie, by requesting to do this, you've kind of pushed the technological limits here at the station to a point, not just for us, but this capability is something anybody at the station could use, theoretically, by tying in, as you said, with all the portable operating systems and various devices that it works with. It's kind of exciting for the station to take advantage of basically a piece of equipment we already had, right?
Yeah, this isn't going to cost the station a dime.
So it was already sitting here and not actually being used.
Yeah. Now, the client, figuring out the client software is $30, but I spent that and it was well worth it.
So you bought the software for the station?
Of course. Well, for my end, but every mobile device will need a copy.
Yeah, the app itself that he's using that is compatible with the feature on the hardware that the station owns, that app, I guess, costs around $30 from what I...
Okay, well, that's part of what we do here at Off the Hook is try and get things to work better. And I think this hour we're going to sort of point that out in a couple of ways. And not all the ways that you might expect, because we've got some things we have to level with our listeners about. And I think we owe it to our listeners to be honest as far as what's going on and what we expect and what the future holds. And hopefully it'll be a bright future. This is a fundraising program. Yes, it is. We're in the spring fundraiser. It happens every year at this time. We are asking people to call 212-209-2950, pledge whatever you can afford, or go to the website of give2wbai.org, and 2 is a number, not the word, and you can pledge there as well. You can become a BAI buddy, have a particular amount withdrawn from your credit card or your bank account every month, and that winds up contributing quite a bit. And we do encourage people to do this. We do encourage people to support the radio station and keep the radio station afloat. But at the same time, we also have a message to convey to our listeners concerning what I consider to be our failure to thank them properly. And we've been trying a lot of things, a lot of different things over the months, almost years, to make sure that certain things are done properly. We have a bunch of premiums that we have not yet sent out. Now, most of that is because we've been waiting for certain things to happen here at the radio station that simply have not been happening. Some of that is because we have the premiums. We are actually delivering them to the radio station, but we wanted to deliver them all together. And it's obvious that if we wait for everything to be done, we'll be waiting even longer. So we're just going to try and get part of it done and hopefully get the rest of it done soon afterwards. The reason why it takes so long is where we have to drop it off is well out of our way. It's nowhere near where we need to go to, so it's hours to do that, and we were hoping to do it all at once, but we have to do what's right for the listeners. Now, I want to read to you a letter that I sent out earlier. Actually, we started this process last week because we knew the fundraiser was coming up, and we did not want to do this again, where we come up with something amazing and people pledge for it, people pay for it, and then they don't get it. You know, that's awfully annoying. So what I did was to hopefully alleviate the situation and allow us to move ahead knowing that our listeners were being taken care of. I wrote this letter to our general manager saying, I hope we can resolve the NSA thumb drive premium issue quickly. Now, if you recall, we had that premium available in October. We had all the documents that Edward Snowden had released so far, and also some people pledged for WikiLeaks data as well on a thumb drive. And we offered that. It was tremendously successful, raised over $8,000 for the radio station. I hope we can resolve the NSA thumb drive premium issue quickly so we can report that they're on the way when we go on air Wednesday in fundraising mode. Well, here we are, Wednesday in fundraising mode, and we cannot report that, I'm sorry to say. Bernie is the point man on this. He's been working hard to get these purchased by the station since last September. Last September, when we came up with the idea before the fundraiser, Bernie has been working on this. He has even gotten prices from vendors. We spent several hundred dollars ourselves for a duplicator to save the station the trouble of having to copy nearly 100 of these drives gigs and gigs of data. You know, it takes a while, and we did not want the station to have to either hire people or just spend days and days and days doing this. So we actually went out and we bought one of these things. It took us a couple of days to buy it. We got it. You know, that's how it should work. You know, that's all we're asking is that the station live up to their end of it, because the whole deal was, okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do all the work. We're going to get all the NSA material. We're going to get all the WikiLeaks material. We're going to put it together in a nice little package and stick it on thumb drives. We're going to do all that. All you have to do is supply the thumb drives. It was written from the beginning, agreed to. Bernie, maybe you can go into it in just a little bit, how many people agreed to this. But, you know, with all the usual BAI and Pacifica infighting and backstabbing and finger pointing, nothing has gotten done, and we're fed up with it. Let me finish with this letter, though, just so people know where we stand. All we need is for these drives to actually be purchased. We can do the rest, including delivering them to the station, along with a couple of other premiums we have. I realize there have been all kinds of staff changes and confusion throughout the network, but we've been trying hard to get this resolved from the start, and we hope you can cut through any remaining red tape to get this done. The station did very well with this premium and can do well in the future with similar items. Further delays will only make that more of a challenge. And that, again, our letter to our general manager, Berthold Rimas, no response to that. And, Bernie, I know you've been speaking to the Pacifica executive director, or maybe not executive director. We interviewed her a few weeks ago, holed up in her office. But apparently she's been unable to get anything done on this front either.
Well, I think there's about eight different people at BAI Pacifica that I've communicated with since back in September, when I first proposed the idea of putting the NSA leaked documents onto an 8-gigabyte flash drive. And the then general manager, the program director, Andrew Phillips, some of us may remember him, thought this was a fantastic premium idea. He agreed with this. He said he'd make sure that the station provided the thumb drives. And shortly thereafter, he was no longer with the station. So then some further emails to BAI went unresponded to. And finally, I took this issue to National. I took it to the executive director. It took many weeks, but I finally was able to get a hold of Summer Reese, who committed to doing whatever she had to do to get these USB flash drives. And then the board fired her.
And you know, it's like we're a bad luck charm. It's not, none of these actions had anything to do with us, I don't think. Andrew Phillips left for other reasons, and Summer Reese was quote unquote fired for other reasons. But it goes to show how hard it is to get anything done. This is a very simple thing. Buy the damn drives. We made $8,000. You know, we're talking about what, several hundred dollars to buy these things? I'm sorry, Bernie, go ahead. Wow, Bernie's line has been cut.
There, I'm here. I'm back.
What happened? Did you overmodulate or something?
Well, my smartphone only has a 3G connection where I am, so it's got spotty data connectivity, and I can't step outside where I am right now.
Oh,
so occasionally
yeah,
we may drop out.
Stay put. Stay where you are. Don't move
I think
around.
I just heard all some right. of your data.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
But anyway, it's like what is it? Just for the drives, like $500 or something.
It's about $620.
With tax and shipping and all this stuff, just to get.
Yeah. No, it wasn't.
The media.
Just said I contacted. I talked to two people that Summer Reese recommended to me at National, who provided me with the name of a vendor that other stations have successfully used to get these USB flash drives. I got a quote from more than one of them, got the best quote from them. Rob there was nice enough to prepare the artwork to imprint these flash drives with, the WBA artwork. We got the artwork in the right format to the vendor. We got the quote all ready to go and handed it to Summer Reese and said, here it is. This is just what you asked for. And now it's a question of getting WBI to pay for it, which sometimes they don't even have enough money to pay their phone bill. So that's why we couldn't make phone calls the other day. Or actually, other stations couldn't.
Other shows, yeah. Shows. It was off about a week ago, but it didn't affect our program. But, you know, Bernie, you've gone well above and beyond what anyone should be expected to do here. We registered this premium back in the October drive, and it was clear then, okay, we're going to do all this work, and the station will provide the thumb drives. And that's really all that we should have had to do at that point. We were doing all the work, collecting all the data, and delivering it. All the station had to do was buy the drives, and you know, it would be a great return on a minimal investment. So it's really it's not fair to the listeners to keep them waiting like this. And we're just kind of fed up, because if we come up with yet another premium, it falls on us. Our listeners get mad at us, and rightfully so, because we're the ones saying you're going to get these amazing things and you don't get them. Who are you going to come to and say you guys weren't truthful? Now, if you pledged for it was a year ago, if you pledged for the USB drives, the audio drives, remember those? The ones that you could spy on people with, you can plug it into your computer, it's actually a microphone. We had that at the Steve Rambam fundraiser that was very successful about a year ago. Well, we are delivering those. We wanted to deliver them all together, and we've been kind of putting it off, because we thought that this was going to get resolved and we could just deliver them all at once. Well, okay, we're giving up on that. and we're just going to deliver this, and people will get those. So those exist. Those will go out. Also, if you ordered an Off the Hook T-shirt, we had some leftover ones of those. I think we offered those in the autumn. Those are also being dropped off. So those, if you're waiting for those premiums, those are definitely on the way. But what we're upset about right now are the thumb drives, the NSA and the WikiLeaks thumb drives people have been waiting for. And I just...
We found from our experience that if these things are done in small batches, they're more likely to get screwed up and lost at the station. So doing them in one big batch, there's less to go wrong. And when we just drop this stuff off, we have to package these. They're done at your end, Emmanuel. They're packaged, wrapped, ready to mail. BII won't let us mail them. They make us take them to the station, and they mail them.
Right. They just add a label and postage, right?
That's all it should be, but for some reason it takes months. We don't know why.
All right. Well, so here's what we're doing tonight. We are not saying don't support the radio station because it's stupid to say that. It's stupid and self-defeating, and it's the kind of thing that I would expect to hear from certain parties that simply like to shoot themselves in the foot, and we try not to do that. We try to keep the place running, but we have to... We have to ask our listeners to support us in a different way. To call 212-209-2950, pledge for the generic WBAI premiums, and we can find a list of those and go over those, or you can go to the website, give2wbai.org, number two, or you can become a BAI buddy, and you'll get all the premiums that are listed there because those are locally produced or in the station already, so that won't be a problem. The problem seems to be when external premiums are delivered or expected to be fulfilled by the radio station. Now, if enough people call in and say that they support this approach, that, you know, we are confronting the issue head on, and who knows, this might rub people the wrong way, but I'd rather be honest about it than continue upsetting people that we care about, because these are the people who listen to us. These are the people who support us. We want them to be happy.
And we don't want to be non-communicative. Being honest is one thing, but also just not saying anything about it and letting it continue to slide for years and years. People will forget about their premiums. We don't want that to happen.
And if we get no response at all, that's going to look like, okay, nobody really cares, and we'll just replace you guys with something else because you don't have listeners that support you, even though that's the opposite. But if a lot of people call up and pledge the minimum amount, and you all say, we support what Off the Hook said on Wednesday night, and let's say 100 people did that, that's going to send a message. That's going to wake people up. That's going to light a fire under some asses that needs to be lit.
Not only that, but the message that we really need to get across today is that, yes, we're trying to get this fixed. We're doing everything we can to get this, get this whole process working on our end, on the station's end, because we get the emails from you, and we do read them when you write to us and say, I pledged for X, Y, and Z, why haven't I gotten it yet? Because we need to know that, and we need to know what's working and what's not. And when something's not working, we're hackers. We try and fix it. So that's what we're doing now.
Yeah, sometimes we break it while we're fixing it, but we generally only wind up with something better than when we started, and our listeners are like that as well. So we hope that you support us in our efforts to fix this, and that's why we need to hear from you, just to convey that message with whatever pledge you can afford. 212-209-2950. And let me ask you, what other radio station would you hear this kind of approach, where we're basically we're putting ourselves out there saying that we have a real problem and we want to fix it, and we will risk everything to fix that because it matters. It really does matter. We're not just going to sit here and tell half-truths or just expect people not to notice things that are wrong. So we are trying to be as on top of this as possible, and we'll continue to put the pressure on to make sure this is dealt with.
And reiterate our integrity.
If we have any left, I hope we do. Bernie, are you still with us?
I am. Okay. I just would ask, is there anything else that listeners can do as far as contacting the station management themselves to say, hey, what's the deal here? Why is our premium money being spent for other things instead of for what I paid the station for in addition to the station itself? I mean, the station has a lot of expenses. They have to pay for the phone bills and the transmitter rental space and all that stuff. But to not spend the necessary money up front to get the premiums fulfilled That's a problem.
Well, I'm glad you asked that, Bernie, because yes, there is something people can do in addition. They can listen to this.
Attention, WBAI's listener sponsors. If you had an issue dealing with premiums, call the phone line 347-274-8144. That's 347-274-8144. You can also send an email to premiums@wbai.org. That's premiums with an S at the end at wbai.org. An operator will answer your call or reply back to your email Monday through Friday between the hours of 9 a.m. until 6 p.m. Thank you for your continued support to WBAI New York Pacifica Radio.
Does that answer your question, Bernie?
Actually, only halfway. I called that number to test it, and it rang. How many times did you think it rang?
Well, you know, the other day I made a phone call, and it actually rang 35 times. I was very surprised. I got frustrated and hung up. But
35?
Yeah, I thought it would time out, but it didn't. And but I don't know. How many times can a phone ring these days?
Well, I called that number repeatedly over the past couple of weeks, and it rang 20 times every time. 22 times. And then, which is 2 full minutes of ringing. Nobody waits that long for a phone call to be answered. They hang up. But if you hang on that long, you'll get the message that you heard to leave a message. Actually, if you call the main number at the station headquarters at 388 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, you'll hear 20 rings. And then the first thing you hear was a message to call the number you just broadcast, and you call that number and it rings 20 times, and you hear another message saying to leave a message. This is not how to run a radio station.
Unfortunately, this is how a lot of things are run these days. I was calling an airline trying to find out where a flight was arriving, and I'm using Bluetooth. I'm driving. It's saying you have to hit a button to do this. I don't have buttons. I'm on Bluetooth. The voice activation went away. But when the voice activation was there, I was able to get to a point where it told me what time and what gate, but didn't tell me what terminal. And I wanted to speak to a human. There was no way to do it. And I find this is true of phone companies, of airlines, of all kinds of organizations and corporations. Talking to a human seems to be an option that's going away. It's sad to see that here as well.
But even if it doesn't answer with a human, it shouldn't take 20 rings for the auto attendant to answer.
Well, I'd like to know what kind of setting that is. Is it possible maybe it was on call waiting or something? And just, I don't know. I mean, I'm almost tempted to try it now, except I didn't write down the phone number. So
I called it a few days ago, and it was 20 rings. Maybe they fixed it. I emailed the station management. I said, hey, you should really fix this. But apparently that hasn't been fixed yet.
All right. Well, you know, we can have a laundry list of all the things that we think should be fixed. And this, certainly getting through to a person is one of them. But we gave an email address. We gave a phone number. Hopefully that's enough to at least start the process of resolving these things. And hopefully what we're saying tonight will get word out and get these things resolved. And hopefully next week, we're supposed to do a 2-hour show next week. And I'm not even going to be in the country, so I'm not sure how that's going to go. And if we're going to have premiums at that point as well. We're not going to have premiums if this is not resolved. I'll tell you that right now. Other than station premiums, which I do suggest people call in and obtain, get a BAI, t-shirt, or what do we have? We have coffee mugs. You know what? You call. Why do we have the wrong phone number? We still have that 516. No, I don't think you're supposed to. No, Kyle, don't rip it down. I don't think you're supposed to rip it down. But there is the wrong phone number on there. Maybe it forwards. I don't know, but it's just kind of silly.
Ironically, those are thumb drive premiums up there. Pacifica on a stick.
Yeah, that's the thing. We have Pacifica on a stick. Bernie, you mentioned that you had to actually go and get artwork to put on a thumb drive. We already have thumb drives. We've had thumb drives for a long time.
The wrong thumb drives. Those are only 4 gigabyte.
It doesn't matter. It's artwork. It can go on an 8 gigabyte or any gigabyte size thumb drive. You know, you don't have to get new artwork because the size of the disk changes. That's the kind of logic that we're dealing with here, though.
The correct number, we should say, is 212-209-2950.
Yes, and that number will not ring very long. Somebody will pick that up quickly
right. And
ask you to pledge something. And you should. You should pledge something, whether it's a monthly amount, whether it's an amount right now. You know the message it would send? You know, if after saying all this right now, if we got as much as a program that was pledging actual new premiums, because it would show that listeners, they don't really care about the premiums. They care about the radio station. They want the radio station to be operational and to respond to them. And I don't think there's a better way to do that than simply to voice your concern in this manner.
I just want to remind people that call 212-209-2950. You'll be able to ask the operator what the current premiums are. We don't have a printout of the most recent things, but you can get all kinds of WBAI stuff as a thank you. But any pledge level, really what we need is a show of support for Off the Hook tonight.
Yes, yes, please. Let's do some stories. Hey, maybe we can take some phone calls. You think that might be a good idea? As long as people can
yes.
keep it clean and not be too angry. And we might even get some calls from Pacifica Management asking us what in God's name we're doing here. This is a story that was forwarded to us about some interesting technology that's out there. This actually was published in Wired. It's all about vehicle tracking systems. Now, the article starts, it's no secret police departments around the country are deploying automated license plate readers to build massive databases to identify the location of vehicles. But one company behind this Orwellian tracking system is determined to stay out of the news. Vigilant Solutions, founded in 2009, claims to have the nation's largest repository of license plate images, with nearly 2 billion records stored in its national vehicle location service, known as NVLS. I just want to stop right here. Bernie, do you have any idea how they could have 2 billion images? We don't have that many people here.
It's not just the images. It's the time the picture was taken and the coordinates, like the geographical coordinates of where the picture was taken. So they basically know what license plate was where, when.
I see.
And they have cameras set up. This company sets up cameras for local, state, and federal government agencies all over. You'll see them along the highway, under overpasses, at intersections. And a lot of intersections, you see four cameras pointing every four directions. And you go through that intersection, and your license plate is photographed, digitized, optical character recognitioned, and then logged with its location and direction and all that stuff. And it all goes into this database.
Okay, now I get it. Okay, so that's nearly 2 billion records based on all that. Now, despite the enormous implications of this database for the public, any law enforcement agency that signs up for the service is sworn to a vow of silence by the company's terms of service. Vigilant is clear about the reason for the secrecy. It's to prevent customers from, quote-unquote, cooperating with media and calling attention to its database. And that database is used by law enforcement and others to track stolen cars, vehicles used in crimes, as well as to locate illegal immigrants, kidnapping victims. Through the vast majority of license plates, the vast majority of license plates stored belong to ordinary drivers who aren't suspected of a crime. Now, this agreement was uncovered by the Electronic Frontier Foundation. Let's listen to what they say here. You shall not create, publish, distribute, or permit any written, electronically transmitted, or other form of public publicity material that makes reference to LEARN, L-E-A-R-N, which stands for Law Enforcement Archival and Reporting Network, or makes reference to this agreement without first submitting the material to LEARN-NVLS and receiving written consent from LEARN-NVLS. This prohibition is specifically intended to prohibit users from cooperating with any media outlet to bring attention to LEARN or LEARN-NVLS. Breach of this provision may result in LEARN-NVLS immediately termination. This is bad English. Immediately termination of this agreement upon notice to you. Okay. It's really kind of nutty here, because think about all the attention they're now getting that this has gotten out there. Rob.
Yeah, I think there's also a clause in there about not talking about Fight Club. But what blows me away about this is, you know, we've talked about how the NSA and governmental agencies and stuff are, you know, trying to be as shady as they possibly can. This is private enterprise doing this and holding the police to their rules now.
What happens when it's anonymously leaked?
Yeah, well, I think that that's probably what happened somehow. Someone got a hold of this. It wasn't law enforcement. But here's the crazy thing. A lot of law enforcement agencies have interpreted this contract, and this is serious, they've interpreted this contract to mean that they cannot even tell a judge about their intent to use the devices. So that means that a lot of use of these devices is going without a warrant. They actually think that this contract they signed supersedes their constitutional responsibilities. Well, it's unbelievable.
I mean, I think you are really overestimating the amount that the police departments in general care about their constitutional responsibilities.
Well, I care.
I mean, you care, I care.
I think most Americans care, and the fact that they would just do this, it's a good thing that it's being revealed like this. So, yeah, I'm not surprised either. I'm not surprised, but I am surprised that it's this blatant, you know? Bernie?
I just wanted to point out that from my research in Camden, New Jersey, I found that these systems, the local and state systems, are largely funded by the Department of Homeland Security. So this is your federal tax dollars that are being spent primarily for all these surveillance cameras that are logging the location of your license plate wherever you go. And this is the expenditure of our tax dollars. We should be able to know how it's being spent and used. And I also wanted to point out that police have more and more been caught or not caught sometimes using other information to find suspects and prosecute them that they don't even tell the judge about. And then they'll tell the judge they found out about the offense or the alleged conduct using some other method. So it's kind of like the police like would search your house without a warrant and find stuff. And then go to get a warrant and say, hey, we heard from an anonymous source that there was this stuff in the house. I mean, that's the kind of analogy that I'm talking about.
There are also very many stories, you know, constantly turning up about police officers using or misusing the resources available to them to, like, spy on their significant others or that sort of thing. So where's the accountability for this if they're not even telling the judges about it, if they think they can't talk about Fight Club? Every part of a policeman's job is supposed to be open to due process and is supposed to be, conducted in a responsible manner that lines up with the Constitution. How is it being ensured that they're going to do that with this now?
Kyle, you and I were talking earlier in the week about which is scarier, government or corporate control of databases, who abuses the Constitution more. And it's a tough race, you know, because the constitutional restrictions that are supposed to be applied to government agencies, a lot of corporations simply ignore them. And we can see here, it's hidden in a contract that, no, you're not allowed to talk about this. And dim-witted law enforcement people think that means that, they don't have to do anything.
I think there are merits to, or not, I think both have advantages and disadvantages, but both tend to, abuse their whatever authority they think they have and hide behind it in one way or another. I think it's the type of thing where, like, a private company would not have as much oversight, but maybe not as much clout amongst governing bodies or bureaucracies within government or intergovernmental relations. So to that end, I think, like, as there is oversight, a government might have because they don't have as much, or they have as much oversight, maybe they would be able to leverage their power, whereas a private company might not have as much power, but they don't have as much oversight. Does that make sense?
Well, in theory, a private company is supposed to be accountable not just to their shareholders, but to the law, and the law itself is supposed to be accountable to everyone. In practice, it doesn't always work out that way.
And I think per the dollars that are per the amount of money, just liquid cash, if you were to compare a government, like the amount of money they are actually able to leverage without a bunch of strings and legislation and all these things, but like to a particular technology or a particular department, the equivalent in a corporation might be like a particular department of a corporation or maybe the whole private company. Point is, I think private companies have a lot more money in their coffers or could get money from VC or whatever to then throw at some technology or something that they're gambling on. Whereas the government's like a little slower, a little bit. I mean, I hear these police officers, this like tech is like kind of an echo of the tech boom in the 90s where a bunch of companies are like, okay, yeah, this isn't quite going to work. So
you know what we should do? Let's go talk about contracts. Let's get some government stuff. And like they've been trying to do that for maybe 20 years. And the cops are like really excited they have XP or something. You know, because remember, you know, the old 80s and 90s movies, there's a lot of, you know, monochrome screens and stuff. So a lot of these organizations were using paper and a lot of, you know, typewriters and these kinds of things up until maybe like what, the last 20 years? So I think there's like this tech happy bent to it too with police departments, and they're not, and they're kind of using the whole it's a black box, so well, we just bought it and we own it now, and it doesn't matter what it does, but it's a black box, and you know, they can get it in with a little oversight and little as possible, and then use the heck out of it and exploit everything without any kind of like oversight as being like complete afterthought. So I think they're in this like purchase happy mode, especially like post 9/11 and stuff, where it's like, yeah, we could get this, and then we'll do radiation, we'll get lasers, and oh my gosh, and then we'll get dirigibles with a sonar, so we can drop it in the water, and it will do all this stuff, and it will make us very high tech. But
Kyle, how police officers talk in Seattle?
So the point is, I think with police departments, they're a little bit on that kind of tech happy bent where they're trying to get a cornucopia, a huge mix of different tech to really prove that they're like up there. They're like ready for the 21st century. RoboCop, that's nothing. You know, Skynet, forget it. You know, we're NYPD. So anyway, but beyond that, I think private companies are scary, scary. Like a private investigator or a private corporation that, like these data brokers. We saw some good.
Well, that's why I wanted to lead into that. Actually,
sure.
We saw an amazing program, which is an unusual thing. We're watching CNN. That doesn't happen very often.
Right.
We wanted to find out where the plane was, and we turned
CNN
it on.
Doesn't have much very often.
No, that's very true. And they weren't telling us where the plane was, but what they did tell us, there was this program on that I'd never heard of before, from this guy I'd never heard of before named Morgan Spurlock. That's a real name, isn't it? Called Inside Man, and had our friend Steve Rombaum on. We couldn't believe it. In fact, you were the one who told me about it, because you were at an airport and you saw a promo, and there's Steve on the TV screen at an airport.
On airport. Muzak CNN.
And Steve's been on our show a number of times. He speaks at the Hope Conference. He's a private eye at here in New York. And he was on this program. He was featured on this program for, I'd say, about half of it. And his job was to get information on this Morgan Spurlock character. And he did. And he showed how he did it. And he showed what kind of information was out there. And the message was what you were talking about. The message is how all this information is being held by corporations, by governments, and not being given to the people that it's about in the first place. It's scary, and it's good to actually put your fingers on it and show, yeah, this is what the information is. Here are all of your photos that are publicly available, if you know where to look. Here's your credit card report. Here is where you were at this particular time. Here's information on a picture you took that shows what street corner you were standing on not 10 minutes ago. Things like that. And it was really educational. And I'm very picky on things like this. When I see these kinds of programs, I always like to find what they're misleading about, what they're getting wrong, what they're generalizing about. And I couldn't really find anything here. It was surprisingly well done. So I was very happy to see that.
Yeah, there was only one particular thing I think I remember where they kind of quickly went over how access was gained to a cell phone, but that could be intricate. Maybe
they say we hacked the iPhone.
We easily hacked into his cell phone.
I mean, I guess they couldn't say exactly how they did that, because
exactly.
it was illegal.
Exactly.
Without his permission,
right.
Doing that would not be legal. But apparently, it's not hard to do. And once you have that, then you have access to all kinds of other things that somebody might do from their iPhone.
Yes.
And from there, you own the person.
I think it is
scary.
I think it really showed the EXIF and like metadata that's automatically put onto like iPhone photos. I think a lot of iPhone users don't really think about that. But there's no stripping program. There's no way to really remove it unless you're turning off your GPS location stuff. And other thing that was really well articulated was that everybody is interested in or has, because of data brokerage, has the subject's information, but that actual person. And that speaks to what we were kind of going back and forth. Who's got more power with the spying? Like, is it a government thing or more of a private thing? The answer is all of them.
Yeah, he did a whole Michael Moore thing where he went to a company, what was it called, Entropy or something. I forget the name of the company, but he went to this company to try and get his data. And, of course, they wouldn't even talk to him, and they were very standoffish. But you better believe that other entities don't have that kind of problem as far as handing out the information and selling it and things like that. It's very hard to opt out of. Bernie, do you have access to the Internet by any chance?
I do. You want me to look something up?
Yeah, I'd like you to actually go into our mailing list. I know Jens sent us an email saying when this program would be repeated. And I'm not exactly sure.
Yes.
Because it aired on Sunday, and I'd just like for people to see it and judge it for themselves. But if you get it from Pirate Bay or whatever, I'm sure it doesn't matter. Just Inside Man, what aired on Sunday. And Who's Watching You, I believe, is the title of it. So that's
right. Who's Watching You? Well, the name of the series is, as you pointed out, Inside Man. Morgan Spurlock's the guy that did the McDonald's Super Size Me movie where he ate McDonald's food for...
That was him?
That's him. That's the same guy.
Oh, okay. Well, I have new respect for him now. Yeah, that's the very first thing he did was puke out the side of his car window because he ate too much McDonald's. And right there, I figured that's an Emmy right there. He didn't get it for some reason. Our phone number is 212-209-2900. We'd like to hear from our listeners with your views on privacy and technology and BAI and premiums and us and anything else that happens to be on your mind. 212-209-2900. Bernie has already retrieved the info.
Yes, the rerun of Steve Rambam on Morgan Spurlock's Inside Man will be on CNN on May 10th, which is at 12 a.m., which is Friday midnight.
Wait, is that Thursday night midnight or Friday night midnight?
So at the end of Thursday,
okay.
Like 1 minute after Thursday very late Thursday night.
There he goes again. He's gone. Bernie, did you step outside again?
All right. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you now.
Sorry about that. Stay put. Gets itchy.
Uh-huh. Okay.
So, again, May 10th at 12 a.m., which is Friday night, and again on May 16th at 11 p.m. I think that's also Friday night.
Well, are you sure that's the same episode? Because it airs every Sunday.
That's apparently they're rerunning that particular, according to Juntz, who's pretty good with his information. That particular episode is airing again both those nights.
All right, well, just look out for it, folks. It's out there. So it's pretty good, and I'm sure if there are other things out there, please write to us, oth@2600.com. Let us know what those are as well. I'd like to take some phone calls, if that's okay with everybody else.
I have an update.
You have an update? Go ahead.
I have an update from Junes, who says, midnight Friday, not thirsty. I think he means Thursday.
Thank you, Junes. You shouldn't be texting while you're driving, but all right, so it's midnight. Wait, what? So, Mike, what does that mean exactly?
The only information I have is midnight Friday, not Thursday.
All right, so
yeah,
Friday, Friday into Saturday, I think is what Mike is saying.
Correct.
Not Thursday into Friday. We spent too much time on this, all right?
Check your local listings.
Check any listings. And the West Coast, of course, is going to be a little bit different as well. Okay, we have some phone calls. Let's see who's out there. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Speak up, please. Go ahead. We're good. How are you?
Good. Thanks. One quick one, and then I have a comment. Is Emmanuel Goldstein the character in 1984? Is that a coincidence?
Emmanuel Goldstein is a character in 1984, and that is no coincidence.
Oh, I mean, that's why you the name Emmanuel Goldstein, that's not a real name. You picked it from 1984.
It was the appropriate name, and yes, it fell onto me.
Right.
That's as much as you're going to get out of me.
I expect we'll have some panels at Hope and in many other places where we'll discuss really, like, what makes a name real or not, and I think it's a very interesting question.
Am I going to be dragged onto the stage for this?
I don't think so.
If you want, maybe. No,
but
I don't want that. But any other questions, caller?
Well, speaking of the stage, you know, that's how Hollywood does it. A lot of names, you know, John Wayne wasn't John Wayne's name. It was like, you know, a very strange-sounding name. Steve Rambam, he's going to be on CNN because of why? Thursday at midnight, meaning Friday.
Oh, boy. You know what? Just go to a website, CNN or something, or call CNN. Or just leave it on, you know, pretend you're interested in the airplane. I'm sure you'll see a promo for it.
Call the operator.
Yeah, call the operator, call information, call somebody like that. Thanks for your call. And speaking of being dragged onto stage at Hope, boy, did we get a flurry of speaker submissions. We had the deadline last week, And I said it was like, you know, when you go to a fireworks show, at the end there's all this hubbub of explosions in the sky. It just goes on for like 3-4 minutes straight. That's what happened to us. We just got bombarded with all of these amazing submissions, and we're still going through them. So thank you folks for sending those in. If you were in a coma, something, you just got out of it, or you weren't paying attention, you didn't realize the deadline had passed, and you're slamming your head into the wall right now, stop. Send email to speakers@hope.net. If there is room, we will try and squeeze it in if your talk is really, really good, or if you're a super interesting person. And even if not, there will still be ample opportunity to present your talk in one form or another, whether it's through the unscheduled track, whether it's through lightning talks. We'll have all kinds of methods. Hope is about freedom of speech. It's about getting the word out and spreading your message and meeting all kinds of people who agree with you and who don't agree with you as well. So speakers@hope.net if you're interested in that. Volunteers@hope.net if you're interested in helping in various ways. And boy, do we need help. We need help in all kinds of fields. If you have AV expertise, if you have network expertise, we certainly want to hear from you. We certainly want to hear what you can help us with or what ideas you might have, because while we do things in particular ways, we're always open to doing them different ways. And we go to many conferences around the world, and we see how other people do things. We learn from that. And very often we change based on what people tell us and what people who come to help show us. So the website is x.hope.net, and that has pretty much all the information. And we'll have all the speaker information starting really soon, and that'll be building up dramatically over the weeks ahead. All right, let's take another couple of phone calls. 212-209-2900. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi, am I on?
You're on the air right now.
Hi, Manuel. I wanted to bring up kind of a new subject overlooked. NTSC was pushed off television in 1909, and I think it's caused nothing but grief to watchers. And my television watching has never been antennas and ears. I've virtually stopped watching television in the United States.
What year did you say it was pushed onto
2009?
Oh, 2000.
It came in late, but it came in 2009, and it was rammed down the public that we would have digital television.
You're talking about digital.
You're talking about HDTV, like over the air, because NTSC's a little bit different.
Yeah, that's a video standard.
No, NTSC was withdrawn on us.
Yeah, that was taken.
Was forced to use this other stuff, and without any technical help, you know, banter, you will notice that an awful, awful lot of people stopped watching television and have never watched since.
Well, that's not a bad thing necessarily, but yeah. I agree, it's a horrible thing,
yeah,
what they did, because especially for poor people who simply had a TV set and maybe could get a fuzzy signal somewhere, now they can't get anything unless they buy something, and it's not a very user friendly solution.
There are also other components to this, where there's this whole movement now of basically people who have cut the cord and who don't have a TV subscription or who don't watch TV in the sense that people once did, but who just go to the internet for the particular video content that they want to watch, whether it's on YouTube or other venues, commercial venues, what have you. But yeah, there's this whole trend away from actually having to watch things on a network schedule, for having to pay for a package of channels just to get the one or two you want to watch. And it's kind of interesting. And yeah.
This is sort of what draws us to radio, because what we like is the fact that people can listen to us without having to pay a penny. And that's why we ask you to help us by paying several pennies, keeping us on the air in the first place. But you can just turn on a radio in your car, in your home, whatever. You don't have to have the internet. You don't have to have a cable. You don't have to have satellite or anything like that. You can listen to us in other places with some of those services. But the magic of just turning on a radio and hearing something being broadcast over the free airwaves, that's what's gone away pretty much with HDTV, because it's an either-or thing. There's no bad signal. There's only a signal or no signal. We seem to be moving away from the simplicity of it, and that's what drew me in the first place. Would you say you feel similarly, Bernie?
Yes, good old analog radio TV transmissions were a good thing. I'm glad we still have analog radio, which our listeners are hearing us on right now, many of them. But ATSC, which is what the caller was calling about, is harder to pick up than analog television. You need an antenna that's got a little better gain, because if you have a weak signal, you lose bits and you lose the signal completely, or the picture completely. So it was just kind of a scam for the broadcasters to get a lot of money for their frequencies.
It's a lot less forgiving a technology.
I've noticed that in so many forums.
Yeah, reception-wise, yeah.
Yeah. All right, you know what? That's going to be all the calls we have time to take tonight. We want to thank those people for calling in. Let's spend the remainder of the show encouraging people to support this radio station, because without this radio station, we don't have a voice. And we have had a lot of criticism over the past hour about the way things are being run and how we don't think our listeners are being treated fairly, the ones who have been supporting us in the past. And that's our commitment, to make sure that you are given what it is that you pledged for, apart from the radio station itself, which is always something to pledge for. So by calling 212-209-2950, pledging whatever you can afford, you're saying you support what we are saying here. And there are all kinds of premiums you can get that are available through WBAI. If you become a BAI buddy, pledge, say, $10 a month, you're, in effect, sending us $120 over the course of a year, which is great. And if, say, even 10 people did that, that's, what, $1,200 that we just raised by 10 people saying they're going to pay $10 a month. And that's what we're all about, is getting people to pitch in with small amounts that add up to big amounts. 212-209-2950, or give to WBAI.org, number two. And pledge whatever it is you can afford. And if you've been waiting for premiums, as you heard before, we are doing everything possible to make sure you get those premiums, including airing our dirty laundry to a degree over the air to let people know that we are trying and we are frustrated and we want this fixed, and we're going to continue saying this until it is fixed. And if you believe that that is sincere, please show your support again by calling us and pledging. And that the numbers that respond to that probably will mean more than anything we can say on the radio. 212-209-2950.
Yeah, because ultimately we care enough about what we're doing here to try and make it work. We think it's worth fixing. We think it's worth getting things going in a way that's good for you, the listener, that's good for us, the producer, that's good for the station, that's good for everyone, because that's what we're here to do. We're here to make good radio, and we can't do that without your support. So if you call 212-209-2950 or go to give the numeral to WBAI.org and check out what we've got there for you. We appreciate that, because it's the only thing that keeps us on the air. This is the only thing that we do to earn our money.
Now, over the course of the decades that we've been on the air, we've come up with some pretty imaginative premiums that we've given away, things that no other station, no other show, I don't think, would dare do. The WikiLeaks thing alone, giving out all this information that's really, really sensitive and secretive, but it's out there, so we felt it was good to gather it all into one place and make it available, and we've done that. And I remember a number of years ago, we had internet access being given out. We had a year at a local ISP, I think Escape.com. We gave out accounts, and the phone lines exploded. We made over $10,000 in one night from people that wanted to get onto the internet for the first time, and through hackers they were able to do that. They weren't able to do that through other services. It wasn't that easy back then, but we were able to make it happen through generosity of donors and through ingenuity of hackers. We made it possible, and the listeners voiced their support by calling. So if we're going to continue doing that in the future, and we want to continue doing that in the future, we do need to hear from listeners who support us. And tonight, we're asking you to support us ideologically in what we are saying tonight, and say, yeah, we support Off the Hook. We support the honesty. We support the commitment to get this out there to you. If you're not waiting for premiums, then I think you have all the more reason to call and show your support in that manner. 212-209-2950. Talk to the person on the other end and work out however much you want to pledge and what premiums you would like in return for that. We take all kinds of credit cards, or you can send a check, whatever works for you. And if you're listening to this in the future, go to the website, give to WBAI.org, give to the number two, WBAI.org, and all the options are there as well.
Including the option to specify Off the Hook as the particular show you're supporting, which we hope you do.
Please do that, yes. Bernie, any last words from you with your nice improved connection that we put together tonight?
I want to thank all the listeners for putting up with the problems at the station, which is still worth supporting. And one last call to 212-209-2950 will help keep the station on the air.
All right. Well, thank you for that. And thank you, listeners, for calling in. And in one form or another, we'll be back next week. 212-209-2950.
The WBAI Spring Fun Drive is upon us from May 5th until June 1st. We're asking you, BAI listeners, to make sure that New York's oldest surviving listener-sponsored commercial-free station stays on the air. In the coming weeks, our producers will be offering dozens of books, CDs, tickets, and more as thank you gifts for your donations. Want your money to have a sustained impact? Become a BAI buddy, and your pledge will help us address the most pressing financial needs from month to month. This is your WBAI. It's up to you to keep us going strong.
That's right, that theme means it's 8 o'clock. Time for the Personal Computer Show. Stay tuned. This is WBAI New York.
Welcome to the Personal Computer Show. This is Hank Key. I'm in the studio, and with me this evening is Max Schmid, who is normally the host of the Golden Age of Radio. And tonight we have Joe King on remote. Joe, are you there? Okay. Max, can you bring him up?
He should be there.
He should be there. Well,
he should be where? Where is he?
Well, turn on the radio and turn off your phone, and you'll be there, right?
Well, I got two problems. I don't have a phone, I don't have a radio, but other than that, I'm okay.
Okay. I think, can you speak a little louder or get closer to your phone?
Just a minute.
All right. And let me welcome everyone. This is the May 7th, 2014 edition of the Personal Computer Show. And this evening, we are on for 1 hour from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. It's a membership drive, but we will be doing a regular, well, as much as possible, a regular show this evening. Just to let everyone know that we will be preempted. We are preempted next week, and Off the Hook will be on for the full 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. next week. And the week after that, we are on from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. In other words, 2 weeks from now, we're going to be on from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. And that's the schedule, but anything can change. And that being so, I told Joe that I have a little preamble I want to go through. And that is, we want to raise as much money as possible this week, today, so that we can put on as much time as possible during the 2 hours, because we're doing a special. We're going to do a special on Linux. Linux, the free open source operating system, which has so much variations to it that you'll be surprised what's available. But we'll talk about that later.
How many versions of Linux are there, Hank, roughly?
At my last count, it's in the thousands. Seriously, in the thousands.
They all have the same kernel, which was...
They all share the same kernel, and they all share the utilities that from GNU, which is Richard Stallman, that he had written back many years ago. And that is what is standard with all of the Linux. And then, other than that, then you have the shells. You have Debian, you have Red Hat, you have Canopix, and it goes on and on.
You know whose name you neglected to mention.
Who's that?
The developer of Linux.
Well, that's Linus Torvalds. Linus Torvalds.
It's pronounced Linus. Linus Torvalds is a young man from Finland. Well, he's not so young anymore. He was young when he first...
Well, that was back in the early 1990s, around 91, 92.
And he and a team now of hundreds, if not thousands, updating it.
Joe, I can't hear you, Joe. You got to get that phone.
We have a problem here because I can barely hear you as well. It's not the mic, it's the whole connection. If Max is listening, Max, try and dial out another one of the lines. Try and convince me on another line.
Okay. But I think it sounds like your phone is the problem. I'll call you back.
Okay, while he's doing that, let me just talk about what Joe was referring to, is that... everyone calls it Linux or Linux, L-I-N-U-X, and the proper, really, attribution should be GNU Linux, because you have the kernel, and that kernel, if you happen to be a PC user, that's essentially the equivalent of the BIOS. Now, in the PC Windows system, the BIOS is part of the hardware itself, and the all that coding underneath it is really a lot of DOS, and that is the all those utilities is the equivalent of the GNU utilities. And then Microsoft has the presentation manager on top of it, and what makes Linux so different from one version to the other is there are 80 major presentation managers, but there are, at last count, I counted something like 200 or 300 different presentation managers. And we'll talk about one of them that is gaining a lot of traction. And there's a lot of interest in it. In fact, I am interested in it. I was downloading it today because people have been talking about it. And I, too, want to see what it is. And we'll talk about that. And, Max, have you made contact yet? Okay, Joe, can you hear me any better now? If not, we'll go with whatever we have, Joe.
This is what we're going to have to live with, Hank.
Okay.
I don't know how it appears to you. To me, it's staticky, but
try it. Well, Joe, you're not going to like what I'm going to say, but the best solution is be like me. Get into the studio.
Well, it's not easy for me to do sometimes.
Huh? Yeah, I know that. You know, there's a number of things in the news, and two of the items are really something that we're waiting to happen. And people should be aware that this is almost imminent because we're in the month of May. And in the month of June, the Supreme Court will be announcing their decision on two of the issues there. And I have no idea which way they're going to go. Maybe you have some intuitive knowledge on how they're going to go. One, Joe, is the Supreme Court is going to rule whether the police can search mobile telephones without a warrant.
The problem I have with the current court is it's broken
pretty hard into two divisions. One division is really extremely Luddite in that they don't understand new technology. The other division understands new technology, but they don't have a majority. So you have no idea. There's a swing vote, and it depends on that, on how that individual generally goes, is the way the whole thing goes. It's a serious problem. I understand where the radical right is coming from, that they're saying that when somebody is arrested, whatever is in his wallet or her purse or his
Joe, to be even-handed, we should also refer to the radical left, too, if you're going to say radical
right. You can't talk about the radical left while you're discussing the radical right. We'll get to that next.
Okay, go ahead.
One of your major problems is you don't understand the difference between
Oh, yes, I do.
You try and blend them together as if everything is the same and you pull pieces out
of it. You know, Joe,
First we'll talk about the radical right, because I started with that. If we had started with the other, I'd go with that. The problem here is that historically, if a policeman or any peace officer made an arrest, what was ever on the person of the people being arrested was able to be searched as part of the basic arrest. That doesn't really hold up logically if what that person had on him was an entire file cabinet of data in a locked file cabinet. The law there would be quite clear. They would need a search warrant to open up that locked file cabinet. But the radical right is saying a phone is not a file cabinet. It's closer to a wallet. Okay, now let's go over to the moderate. There is nobody from the radical left on the court. I'll get to the radical left in a minute. The only people on the left on the court are moderates. As a matter of fact, in the days gone by, they would have really been called centrists or even conservatives.
Joe, you know what? You're fading.
How's that?
Yeah, but you got to remember, you got to hold that phone in a very steady hand.
No, it's not just the hand. I'm moving it closer as I'm fading. I'm now almost touching with my lips.
Okay.
At any rate, the people on the moderate left are saying, no, and I'm not talking about this particular case, but they're saying, no, you can't necessarily judge today's technology by what you knew about yesterday's technology. So it's almost impossible to guess on areas of technology or areas of science how this particular court is going to go. This is, by all standards, left, right, center, this is the most radical court that we've had in many, if not many years, at least many, many terms, probably many centuries. But because of that, nobody who studies the court is willing to predict and project what happens in the future on this particular court.
Joe, what it is that there were two lower court decisions, and I was a little surprised by it with with a smartphone, in other words, there's a data plan with a smartphone and probably a lot smarter than a so-called dumb cell phone.
I think you should interrupt yourself and say, to be actually truthful, you do not own or use a smartphone.
Correct. What I'm saying, though, is that with a smartphone, one court says you can do a search, and another court says on a non-smartphone, you cannot do a search. So we'll see how they come out.
It's a question, both from the point of view of the search, and the question is also whether or not you're allowed to search, is what is a smartphone? And if a smartphone were reclassified as a computer that also had telephony capabilities, that would be one whole direction. We already have rulings on computers. If, on the other hand, a smartphone is determined to be a telephony instrument with no computational capability, which is not true, but it can be judged to be that, then it's a different path. My problem is a different one right now, Hank.
Joe, you're fading again.
None of my passwords are working.
Oh, okay. Joe, before we talk about the second case that they're going to come up with, we have to remind everyone that we have a number for everyone to be aware of. That's 212-209-2950. We are fundraising. We want people to support WBAI. We want people to support the Personal Computer Show. And we have, oh, I would say, there's three ways of supporting the station in a monetary way. Joe, you want to talk about the buddy system?
The buddy system is really a terrific thing for both the people who want to support WBAI and for the people who want to run WBAI. Because the people who want to support WBAI can go to the website and pledge $10, $15, $20, however much they want, to be donated every month of the year, all times. And by doing that, management of BAI